Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's a beautiful Friday edition of DJ Fem and Sights with myself, Ponso Morano, and Usmangali. So, the third and final hour of the show, though, but we are joined by Dr. Valencia Mabalane, and we're talking all things the Prader-Willi syndrome.
Yes.
Before we even answer any question, Doctor, who are you? Where do you come from? And just a day in your life, anything.
I am Valencia Chinompeni Mabalane. A girl who grew in Meadowlands and in Venda.
Okay.
Meadowlands and Venda.
Yes.
Okay.
So I know both sides of the world, the urban area and the rural area.
Beautiful.
Yes. I lecture at the University of Johannesburg in the Faculty of Education, specifically in the Department of Education and Curriculum Studies.
Yeah.
A mother of four kids, three boys and a girl. Yes, married to Philmon Mabalane.
Halala, congratulations to him. Congrats to him.
Yes, I almost mentioned yes.
Oh! No, that's beautiful, that's beautiful. So your daughter's been diagnosed already with Prader-Willi syndrome.
Yes.
What is your child's name and age, and maybe when was she diagnosed, and what's the diagnosis?
She's born Klepalisa Mabalane, 27 years old. She was diagnosed when she was, the right diagnosis came at the age of 11.
Okay.
All along from when she was about 3 years until about, it's a long story.
Mm.
Until she was about 11, she was misdiagnosed as a Down syndrome child.
Mm.
So it means we're not treating her well.
Yeah.
And hence you see her like this.
Okay. So how prevalent is this syndrome, especially because I know for a fact I've only learned of it maybe 3 months back. I didn't know about it. So how prevalent is it nationally in both internationally?
It's prevalent nationally and internationally. There are a lot of children with Prader-Willi syndrome because it's not physically, it's a syndrome or disability that is not visible.
Yeah.
People tend to confuse it most of the time as obesity. And, in the township, you'll find people who are overly, who are overweight. So, they'll be called with the names, fatty, and so forth. But it is, there are international organizations, and there is a Prader-Willi Society in South Africa, and there are conferences about Prader-Willi.
That's beautiful. Okay.
Yes.
So you mentioned before that your daughter was officially diagnosed at the age of 11.
Yeah.
But what were the signs that something was different?
Okay, let me just start. When I was pregnant with Bunte, that there are things that you must observe and check when you are pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't kick, she didn't move in my stomach. And, eventually when I was taken to hospital, even when she was birthed, there were some complications. She just came out quiet. She struggled to, when I was told what to check.
Yeah.
After she was misdiagnosed, she couldn't suck properly. And she missed a lot of milestones about, she started speaking at 4 years. She started walking very late and she struggled. When she was born, she was very tiny. It's unbelievable, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Very, very tiny. And because she struggled eating and she struggled sucking.
Yeah.
That she has, they usually have a poor muscle tone. I understood later. You guys don't know anything because you don't have kids. They'll tell you, rub your breast, do this, feed the baby.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe she's struggling to suck because of my breast. She doesn't like breastfeeding.
Yeah.
Even from a bottle, she struggled. Mm-hmm. So when she was about 4 years, 2 years, 4 years, she got something like a seizure and the father took her to hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the recommendation came up that we should take her to be checked.
Sure.
Yeah, to be checked. Then we took her to different hospital.
Mm-hmm.
When I was when she was four, she was admitted. She kept on being in and out of hospital. They are very, very weak because of being malnourished.
Yeah.
So they become very, very weak and they become sick. So she was in and out of hospital until she was about 10, until she was diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
Then I told the doctor that my daughter can talk. You know, you even forget those milestones.
Yeah.
And when I was telling the family, especially my husband's family, my in-laws, kept on saying, no, don't worry, she took after so-and-so. This is within the family.
Yeah.
And you know cultural things, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Where they say black people, they say you took. So I just relaxed.
Yeah.
But when she was 4 years, she was admitted. And the nurses were talking to her and she couldn't respond.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when they called me. They called the speech therapist who called me, performed tests and found that she lip reads. When you are in front of her, when she's in front of you, she actually looks, it means she looks at your mouth.
Okay.
When you talk and then she would respond.
I see.
And then she said to me, go to let her come to... Let her come behind you, and then she couldn't answer. She couldn't answer. She couldn't hear. She, you know, it was like she's not even in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when she did more tests, and she said no, we should go for. So from there we started to take psychological tests. Yes, and by then she had not even started uttering a full sentence at the age of four. You can imagine.
Yeah.
And then we took her to a daycare center where when they were at 6 years, when other kids were being asked what they wanted to become and they were excited. Mm-hmm. And she stood there, you know, like she's not there. And she kept on saying, dog, dog, dog. And she was told to say, at least say you want to become a doctor.
Okay.
So when we went for diagnosis, you know, inconclusive report. We have been through a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started, but we eventually, one of the speech therapists said, recommended special schools.
Yeah.
So we took her to a special school with my husband, who then said, no, you know, and she was diagnosed with a severe disability when she was mild.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, we got the right school in Parktown. She was assessed again. Then we never stopped because she had this insatiable appetite for food. So the Prader-Willi syndrome kids, you don't even put food in front of them.
They eat. Yeah.
They have what you call hyperphagia.
Mm-hmm.
So they eat. And it's because of, I forgot what the actual terminology were.
Yeah.
The extreme unsatisfied drive for to consume food.
Exactly.
You have to lock
the cupboards.
You have to you have to remove food.
Yeah.
You have to remove food. You have to make sure that there are no sweet things.
Mm.
And because of they don't get food at all.
So I do apologize for interjecting. How did this affect you as a parent before the diagnosis, right? Because you had to move. And a huge applaud to you and your husband for not giving up, for going around, going to different specialists and not giving up, essentially. So how did that affect you, your marriage and everything around you?
Wow, you know, before she was diagnosed, né? You have this excitement. I have three boys, and like I said, and they're older than her.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this excitement.
So she's the last born.
Hey, she's the last born. She's the girl. The shock.
Oh.
The shock. And trying to make, because she would just, as a toddler, she cried a lot.
Mm.
And I did not understand. So
why?
I thought, no, this kid is there's something wrong with this kid. And I was told, so-and-so in this family cried like that. Used to cry like
that. That's how
this is where we miss and we drop the ball
exactly.
As blacks, because we want to relate things culturally.
That's
when they're not supposed to be culturally, and the damage is realized very late.
Exactly.
Especially like in a case, because for her, this should have been treated long ago so that she would still have the appetite, but she wouldn't gain weight like she is now. You can see that she's overweight. Beautiful, and even she's beautiful.
She's absolutely beautiful. Exactly. Absolutely beautiful. Even the
my princess,
beautiful.
Yeah.
Definitely beautiful. Yeah.
So, how does Gunther connect with other members of your family, maybe even the community at large, like in society?
Okay, before I go there, let me just talk about the diagnosis. You know, you want to deny. I was in denial.
Mm.
I was depressed. I was angry with myself I had done all this. I've done psychology until psych 2. Yeah. I was angry with myself. I was angry with a lot of things. I blamed God because I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually I came to accept that, you know, from a friend who said to me, you know, God doesn't give any other person kids like Bunke. Mm-hmm. Just appreciate. I changed and I accepted Bunke. After that, I will talk about how we went through the process. Bunke, are we talking about relation with the friends?
With like the family members, friends.
Everyone around her.
Everyone. The three brothers are overprotective.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can imagine. I'm so blessed the three brothers who understand. They date, the way. Because people do not understand that there's confusion in society, international and everywhere.
Mm.
People equate disability to inability.
Mm.
And they think our children do not have feelings, our children do not have likes, our children do not have to go out and date and so forth. But they take her out, they date her, they buy her clothes.
Oh, that's beautiful.
They make sure that she's comfortable. You don't touch her.
Which is what
she relates so well with the brother.
Yeah.
She relates so well with the father. She's more closer to the father because I spend time with her. So she spends time most of the time with them. And she has cousins that she's close to. She has family. She has a youth club. We have made, we have tried to include her. Not to integrate her in society. I don't agree in integration. I want inclusion.
Yeah.
But that she becomes part of the society.
That's
she feels that she's one. I don't want to elevate her disability and her difference. But what I look at mostly is to push her and say, Nana, you have this, and look so that she's able to interact with everyone. The problem is how the society, the people and the family, how they see it.
Yeah.
What they see the disability before Bunke.
Exactly.
Before the child. And try to and it's like you're aggressive. Mm-hmm. Even when you try to stop and say, no, don't see that. Why is Bunke doing it? Even when we have taught them, when you say, no, come, let me teach you how to treat her, they don't want to do it. So it results in them seeing, and as a result, she has developed a social anxiety. She keeps to herself. And she also had those kids with Prada Willy have speech problems, they have auditory problems, they have visual problems. Né? And so she has severe social anxiety.
Which is very, it makes sense. Because if you're going to be treated like you don't belong, you are going to end up feeling like you don't belong, right?
Yeah, and especially about the comments about your weight.
Yeah. Exactly. You just don't do that.
And people saying you eat too much.
Yeah.
Why don't you do this in her presence? You know, when I come, I don't talk about Bunke without asking permission from her.
That's beautiful.
Nothing about her without her.
Mm.
That's my vision and my belief.
Yeah.
That I wouldn't like, it's like gossip if I don't get it. And she has the right to sue me.
Exactly.
So I must get permission from her that, Nana, I'll be talking about this. I'm going to be talking. And I advocate about Prada Willy because it's rare in South Africa.
It is rare.
Yes, it is. It's a rare.
It's very rare. It's
a
very
disorder. And it's multiple disorders, by the way, disability.
Oh, so it's like a spectrum.
It's a spectrum.
Oh,
others.
Okay.
And they've just discovered recently that it has some, it draws from a number of disabilities.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, because you did speak of misdiagnosing.
Yeah.
So surely if you're going to, especially nowadays, we have a problem of misdiagnosing. Yeah. You just look at a person and you assume they have autism or they have whatever, right?
Yeah, on that note, people were saying, no, there's nothing like that.
Yeah.
And people would go and read about and say, no, she's actually autistic.
Mm,
and you know how we discovered is how she would eat.
That's how you
how
she would,
and
so that was like the biggest sign for you.
And the biggest sign and the gaining of weight.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought we're trying our best, even now, if we had not control her diet, she would be bigger than this.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And they stand a chance. Their lifespan is up to about 35, 38 years.
Sure.
Yes.
Because obviously it leads to obesity. So if you're not going to
So you have to. And it affects you as parents.
Yeah.
It affects you. It affects how, you know, you live. But if, even though it affects you negatively, I look at how she has built my patience. how she has built my endurance, how she has changed my view of life.
That's beautiful.
That it's not everything that is sweet, you know, green everywhere and so on. And that learn people, learn different. And that is why even now I'm looking at one of those who know that I push social justice.
Yeah.
I don't know like what, because we think they must be pitied. I don't like pity for them. I don't want people to pity my daughter.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Because what are you pitying? What is it? For me, most of the time when you go to my status, I would say she's my princess.
Mm-hmm.
And she is differently abled and gifted. It is the first time that I do not wear a jewelry ring. Because I had to focus to support her.
Yeah.
We had to focus at her strength, at her likes.
Mm-hmm.
And we asked her.
What she likes?
What she likes. Even when she is very slow. I'm not going to hide that.
Mm.
And I celebrate even when she had written. In my office, I've got posters, the ones that when she first wrote to me. I cried, I rejoiced at the age of 13 when she wrote to me, Mommy, at the age of 13, by the way, it's great. You were in grade seven. And she was writing her first sentence, Mommy, I love you.
Sure.
It was an achievement for me.
Definitely.
Yeah, so I had to look at the strengths. I had to look at the things she can do. I had to celebrate them and help her grow to be. It's not an easy road, though.
Yeah. Speaking of how challenging it is, aside from your husband and your sons, what other support system do you have?
Her former school. I'm still involved. I'm so much involved in disability groups so that I'm able to understand what's going on. And then I also support myself. I update myself. I keep myself abreast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because as much as I can support, I don't want to be focusing on what was done in the past. Mm-hmm. I have friends, very close friends who adore her.
Mm-hmm.
I have a sister. I have one sibling who's... who loves Bontle dearly. She's got first cousins. She's got cousins. She goes to the youth club in Dube. We also support ourselves by that. Mm. We also get support from church.
Okay. That's
I'm very spiritual. We also get support from church. And more so from prayer. It's not easy because every day you leave, you sleep, you walk. Everything, you know, it changes your lifestyle completely.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm on duty, she would be texting anything. She doesn't like flies. She would be saying, it's the fly. I see a fly. I see this, you know. So you must also understand that. And mommy, my hand, because they have this pain. Mm. Their pain. Yo.
Really?
Yes. Mm. Yes.
And do you know what sort of the pain?
It has to do with the...
Just how it runs in the body.
Yeah, it runs in the body. And they also have, you know what scares you as a parent that you need to support yourself spiritually and otherwise, is that they have sleep apnea.
Ooh.
Mm. Yes, if you know sleep apnea, they stop breathing.
Yes.
That's so scary.
And that's so scary.
That's so scary. Mm. And you don't want to lose your child, especially if you love it like this.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to do so. They have sleep apnea.
Mm.
They have cognitive problems. And people will come and approach and look at them and say, hey, you know, you are rude, without checking why she's not talking, because she has severe speech problems.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So do you have like any advice or just even a message for other parents or people who have children that are differently abled?
I usually say to people, love your child as she is. Love the unlovable.
Yeah.
I teach people to love the unlovable. Accept your child for who she is.
Yeah. Mm.
Never ever keep quiet. Never stop loving. Advocate for your children. Yeah. You know, the disabled children are always
pushed by the chronic excluded.
And they don't have a voice. Be the voice for your child.
No, definitely.
Do not be silent. Be the voice for your child. Mm. Stand up and say, not in my child's name. I refuse. I'm not boasting. I also serve at the presidential working group because I had to speak and challenge the powers that be and say, you know, it's so painful that at 18, it doesn't matter where they are, they have to leave school.
Mm.
So what are the resources that are there for them? So if you don't champion their cause, who's going to do it?
Who's
going to
do that?
Who's going to do that?
Yeah.
So I'm saying, love our children, especially to the society. Create an enabling environment. It's not for them to create you know, to accommodate you. We are saying include them and create an enabling environment where they can thrive because they've been through a lot. You can imagine there, you know, there are times when you stop food, when you stop things. She fights. They have behavioral problems because they have temper. So love your child, understand your child, learn more about your child, change the course of what is happening. Another thing that I'm going to, society has their own belief.
Exactly.
You know, in one area I'm not going to mention, I always talk about it. There's a woman who had a child who was autistic and severe disability. So every time she carried, that child has, you know, was endangering his life. So she would chain the child because she had no relatives and family. This is where I'm coming in. That, remember Ubuntu, that the child belongs to the society. So she, when she carried the child would bite her. She would scratch and fight. And when she left him in the house when she's doing other chores, this child will harm himself. And when she put him next to her to where she's working or washing, she lived in an informal settlement. The child will run out and will never run after that kid. Then this one day she decided the best thing for me to see and to be able so that I can, you know, she couldn't be right in my view. It's for me to chain him. The society then started saying he's abusing the child. Get the facts straight. Go and ask, why do you do this? So that he explains that I do not have anyone to help with this child. And then you become part. You become part of the journey.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say to the parents, do not neglect yourself. Love yourself. Take care of your health.
Very, very important. That's important.
Yeah, take care of your health. Take care of your mental health. Because these kids need us completely. You know, they need us as we
are,
healthy as healthy parents.
Sure. You've said a mouthful, honestly. And I know for a fact a lot of people are going to want to know more and maybe ask more questions that are listening right now. But unfortunately, our time has run out. Yeah. Where can they find you? How can they contact you? If they have anything. Do you have an email or social media?
Email. I use my work email.
Okay.
And then I've got my number, 072-715-4486. And can I please also say, parents, get support for yourself. Because it becomes, you know, every day has its own things. So you need to strengthen yourself. You know, I mean, I'm an academic. I can't balance life. I struggle to balance life. Sometimes I cry alone because I don't want them to see me crying.